you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 182 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guest is Leslie Valancourt. And I have known Leslie for quite a while now because we both started our law practice together in a small firm in D.C., Simeone and Miller. Tom Simeone was the first guest on The Law Entrepreneur, episode one, and Craig Miller, his partner, was a guest sometime thereafter. But Leslie and I were associates in that firm when we first started our career together. She's now moved back to Tampa from where she originated and has started a solo practice, been in solo practice for quite some time now, and practices estate planning, same as I do. And it's just kind of fun to be able to talk to an old friend who has kind of a similar journey going from personal injury litigation to estate planning as a solo practice. So we're going to compare notes and see where we both made the right choices and the wrong choices and the good, the bad, and the ugly, so to speak. So without any further delay, let's talk to Leslie Valancourt. Leslie Valancourt, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil.
I am so psyched to have you on the show for our audience who might have missed the intro. Leslie and I go back quite a ways to the start of my legal career when we worked together briefly in a small firm in Washington, D.C. But with that as by way of introduction, Leslie, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Okay, well, my practice focuses on estate planning. I do wills, trusts, and elder law here in Tampa, Florida now. And I'm also now providing online mediation of family and civil disputes.
Well, how did you get down to Tampa?
So I grew up in Tampa. I went to for undergrad. Yes, I did, yeah. Oh. I graduated from high school here. I went to American University for undergrad. I met my husband there. I ended up going to Boston University for law school. And then I thought Boston was too cold. So we went back to DC and that's when I worked with you.
Yep.
And I wanted to be closer to my family. My mom had been having health problems. So I took the Florida bar. And then after I got in, I just planned to move here. I moved here, I think it was March of 2008.
Terrific. Now, had you always known, you know, back in undergrad school that you wanted to be an attorney? How did you come to the practice of law?
That's a good question. No, I never thought I would be an attorney. So I guess it's something that just kind of snuck up on me. And I went to AU and during all 4 years, I worked at the International Admissions Office. And working there, I helped students with like their F1 student visas and stuff, but I also got to know attorneys that were either representing the students or worked in international human rights or whatever it was. And so that's when I started thinking about the law. I graduated from AU. I kept working in the International Admissions Office then as a counselor. So I was an admissions counselor for the international students. And I kept taking classes because I wasn't sure. I knew I wanted to do something, but I wasn't sure what. I took, you know, economics classes, like graduate level econ classes. I took computer science. I took a variety of stuff. And then I said, no, I think I want to be a lawyer. And then I studied for it, took the LSAT.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to law school across the street at the Catholic University of America. And they're in D.C., and, you know, they asked us a question on the first day of law school, you know, what area of law do you intend to practice? And Well, that's a pretty ambitious thought to have on your first day of law school. When you entered law school, were you clear on what area of law you wanted to practice?
I wasn't clear on what area of practice I wanted to do after I graduated law school. So I definitely wasn't at the beginning. Yeah, I was kind of interested in everything. So I did do a concentration in international law. My undergrad was in international studies. Sure. So I always liked doing that. And I still kind of have a little bit of an international focus to my practice. So.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So now when we were working together in DC, it was in a boutique law firm, as we said, with Simeon and Miller. And Tom, our boss, Tom Simeon, was actually the very first guest I had on the podcast, such as my respect for him as an attorney and someone who's grew a small firm, he and his partner, Craig Miller, who grew a small firm into, you know, a pretty successful firm that continues to exist today. So we were doing personal injury then. And one of the things I like about the law is if you don't like the area that you're practicing in, if you want to change your focus, it's pretty straightforward to do. There's no technical or legal restrictions if you wanted to change. So when did you start to think about doing something along the lines of, you know, estate planning as you do now?
As soon as I started thinking about doing my own practice, that's immediately where I went, because I like to write. I like doing estate planning. I like helping people, you know, think about issues and resolve problems and write nice documents.
And so you didn't consider other types of litigation, like family law litigation or other aspects of the law? You had a sense that estate planning is what you wanted to do?
Yes, I had a sense that estate planning was what I wanted to do, but just out of pure necessity, because the market here is really saturated. There's two law schools right in the Tampa area. So just out of pure necessity, especially starting out, I did do family law and yeah. I did foreclosure defense. I started doing foreclosure defense like through a pro bono program, Florida Attorneys Saving Homes. So I learned all about it. And then I started taking the clients in because it was a huge practice area at that time, 2008, with the collapse of the market. So
sure.
That was a good practice area for me then. And I was able to use all the good litigation stuff I'd learned from Tom Simeon.
Yeah. Law school didn't teach you the business of law. I know how hard you work. As you practice law, manage your firm, rainmake, making sure the bills are paid, you wear so many hats. Do you feel like you're stuck in neutral all the while, working more and more hours? Fortune 500 CEOs all have coaches. Why don't you? You've got to talk to my friends at lawcoaching.com. Lawcoaching.com has coached solo and small firm and medium-sized firms like yours to huge growths. Head coach Anthony Garacci coached his firm to 490% growth over 5 years. And he can do it for you. Are you tired of trying to find great associates to do your work? Do you want more freedom to grow your firm? You got to talk with Anthony Garacci and Law Coaching at 855-455-0050. It's 855-455-0050. You deserve to invest in yourself and take your firm to exceptional results. Visit them online at lawcoaching.com or call them now at 855-455-0050. So you said you were attracted to estate planning because you like to write and you like to help people. Which came first, chicken and the egg? You know, the thought, I want to start a solo practice on my own. Oh, and I'll do estate planning, or I want to do estate planning and maybe a solo practice is the best way to do it.
I can't even remember.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know,
it was so long ago.
Yeah, circumstances, you know, kind of dictate that. I guess the point that I'm driving at, did you have a sense that you wanted to start a solo practice for some time? Was that always in the back of your mind?
That was always in the back of my mind. Even when I went to law school, I knew that one day I wanted to work for myself.
And why do you think that is? Do you have entrepreneurship in your family background or acquaintances, or what drew you to that challenge?
I mean, I guess I kind of do. My parents came here from Cuba. My dad had his own business for a long time, a variety of different things. So I guess I always saw somebody working for themselves. And I just like the idea that I would be in control of who my clients were, what my hours would be, and what I would be doing on a daily basis rather than having it be up to somebody else.
Yeah, that quality of life decision is often the driving factor in determining what, you know, the pursuit of a solo practice. So here you go. So you decide, I'm going to open a solo practice. I'm moving back to Tampa. How did you get started? Were you working from the kitchen table? Did you jump right in and get a lease on some office space, or you know, what was the path you took?
So no, I worked from home. I didn't get a lease or anything. I had a really small budget. I was, you know, working on fumes. So I started at home. I made my own website that was really sad. I wish I still had a copy of it somewhere because it was really hilarious. And I just did everything myself from the beginning.
Well, that's what we all do. You know, in the beginning you have more time than money. So you learn how to put on a different hat each day, each hour, and make it work. What were your biggest challenges back in those days?
I think the biggest challenge was really learning about accounting and marketing and all of these things that I think they should make you take in law school, because a lot of us actually do go and work for ourselves, but really have no idea how to do it.
Yeah. And of course, that's the whole reason, you know, that this podcast exists, is because it's not being taught anywhere. And I had the unfortunate experience of having, you know, a classmate of mine lose his license because didn't know how to manage an IOLTA account. And so there's something they never taught us in law school.
And it just doesn't make sense. I don't know why that's, I think it's still not taught in law school. So,
yeah, well, I've been on that rant before. So our listeners, you know what, what my feelings are about it, but hopefully we can help bridge the gap with something like this. So how did you go about overcoming that hurdle, learning about how to manage your finances and how to do the operational aspects of running a firm? Would you buy trial and error, or a lot of reading, or did you have any kind of mentorship or coaching?
So I did take a CLE in Maryland before I left on starting my own practice, because I knew that was probably something that I would be doing. And then when I moved here to Florida, I just kept finding resources. I even went to the library to learn about, you know, bookkeeping and stuff like that. So I just found all the resources that I could. I think today there are a lot more available online than there were then, but it was still pretty accessible. It was something I could manage. I just needed to take the time to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the challenges when we do that is, you know, you're also trying to learn a practice area in terms of the legal basis of the services that you're offering. How did you overcome that challenge?
I basically looked to the Florida bar. I took CLEs. I bought materials and things that were relevant to my practice area. For the foreclosure defense, I didn't really know I was going to be doing that, but it was something that I did pro bono. And then through that pro bono program, I was able to meet other professionals that do it, get a lot of resources from them, and use that to build my practice.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of different practice pro bono opportunities where in exchange for donating your services, you can get training. Foreclosure defense was big there for a long time and still is a necessary one. Of course, family law, a lot of programs that are offered in the family law space. But you don't always have that opportunity. And basically, you know, it's up to the attorney to gain that technical knowledge on their own while learning how to run a business. And it's a real challenge. So how
it
did
was. You, I'm glad I went through it. It paid off. So I'm glad I went through those tough times.
Yeah. So how did you go about getting clients? And I, obviously some of them came to you through your resources, such as the Florida Bar. How did you then leverage that to have a primarily an estate planning practice? And where do those clients come from? How are you marketing to attract those clients?
So I rely mostly on client-based referrals, but it's impossible to rely on that alone. But I do have clients that came to me 11 years ago, back when I would take anything that walked through the door, that still come back to me today just for estate planning. And to get new clients, I do a variety of things. I'm part of a speakers bureau, so I give talks a few times a year related to estate planning and elder law. I write blog posts. I try to make the best use of my Avvo profile. I volunteer for pro bono events. I volunteer with a local legal aid organization. My firm sponsors community events, and I'm very involved in bar associations.
So basically, you know, it's a matter of making your brand known to as many people as you can, so that when they come looking for an estate planning attorney, they think of you.
Right, and just people that, you know, like I do flamenco, so just people that I see through that, they know what sure. I do, and if they need help or know someone who does, they will come to me for that.
Yeah. Now, do you do any type of advertising, paid advertising, whether it be print or electronic or anything of that nature?
I do not. The Florida Bar rules are really specific. I'd have to get all ads approved, and it's a process. I just don't think it's worth it, so I don't.
Sure. Yeah. And does that stand true for online advertising? It has to be approved by the bar as well?
I think so. I do have, you know, like an Avvo profile with them, but I don't do any Google ads or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't think your profile is like on Avvo or other types of services like that technically count as advertising.
No, it doesn't.
But like Facebook ads or what have you. And a lot of people are obviously do a lot of Google AdWords, you know, purchasing AdWords in order to improve their online response. It can be expensive, but I gather that wasn't in your market. You weren't doing that.
I've not done that.
Have you? Are you still working from home primarily, or have you added office space?
So I mostly work from home. I have a kind of an interesting situation where I at one point I did have office space. And then I had my daughter, and I had office space. I had, you know, staff that worked for me, another attorney that worked for me. And then I kind of just brought my practice back down to just me. And I have an office in Ybor City, but it's a virtual office arrangement with beautiful conference rooms. And that's where I meet with my estate planning clients. We review documents and do signing ceremonies. I have another like co-working space in Tampa Heights at a place called Armature Works, which is this really cool modern office space located above a food hall with restaurants and bars. So sometimes if it's like a client that, you know, I've been working with or I'm friends with, I'll meet with them there. But I mostly just go there when I want to work someplace and not have the kids running around or any distractions, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really smart, and it's becoming more and more available to folks with these kind of shared office facilities. I use one myself. And, you know, it's a little bit practice area dependent, because, you know, not all practice areas can take advantage of that type of flexibility. But I think for folks like us doing estate planning, it's a perfect opportunity to be in multiple facilities and yet still work primarily from home.
Absolutely. I love the flexibility.
You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. Now, I think you probably remember, I'm a nerd. I'm a technology nerd. And so my question would be, what role does technology play in your practice? And is it something that you leverage in order to get more done and be more responsive to your clients?
I think I wouldn't have a practice without technology.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Because, you know, like with using like VPN, for instance, I can work anywhere I want and I'm still complying with, you know, all my bar ethical regulations, keeping my clients' information safe, you know, because you can't just go work at a Wi-Fi, on public Wi-Fi at Starbucks or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I also was able to, you know, take a month-long vacation to Spain and none of my clients knew about it. So technology has really helped my practice.
Yeah, what's your most valuable aspect of that? Just the ability to work remotely and seamlessly?
Absolutely, the ability to work remotely. That's the biggest aspect to it. I mean, I'm not a huge techie person. I actually rely on my tech savvy husband who works for me for free. So he's very helpful with that. But I do like having that flexibility and using technology to, you know, as much as I can. And that's why I decided to start doing the online mediations, because I can use technology and other people can take advantage of that too, where they can just sit, you know, in their conference room or in their home office or in their attorney's office and do a mediation right from there. And they don't have to actually go someplace and meet with the other party in person.
So branding is very important for you, understanding that your firm has a kind of a look and a feel. And so when the referrals come looking for you, they can identify with your firm. And you had mentioned earlier that your initial website was kind of a startup website. Your current website is very polished. And I'm wondering, how did you transition? Did you have somebody do the site for you? Or is it that tech savvy husband of yours who helped you with this? Because it's a very clean site.
So my last site prior to this one was done with the help of my husband, and that was through WordPress.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to update my site and make it look a little more cleaner and polished. And so I actually used Martindale Hubbell to do that.
Ah, okay. So, and how about in terms of your branding, you know, logos and that kind of thing? Did you seek out professionals to help you with that, or were you able to design your own? Or
that was all home done and pretty much just something that I came up with myself. Again, that goes back to wishing I had taken a business and marketing class in undergrad, because I didn't really have a clue, but I just stuck with what I had, and it's evolved a little bit, but it's pretty much stayed the same from the beginning.
And do you use any form of social media? Are you active on those platforms, or does that fall under the same kind of not restrictions, but guidance of the Florida bar?
Actually, no, I don't think that there are any restrictions in terms of social media, and that is my final frontier. That's something that's on my list. It's been on my list for a while. to get on social media.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of bridge that gap. Cause you know, you have a strong writing style. Your blog is really informative. By the way, I loved the most recent post you did having to do with do-it-yourself wills and trust, because it's a question we get as estate planners all the time. And you know, I love the research that you put into it, because it's really fact-based, and that's not always the case when people are writing about do-it-yourself wills. But you have, you know, a great writing style, and that bridging that gap using social media to amplify your audience, I think, would be really important for you.
Yes, absolutely. It's something I'm planning on getting on social media very soon. And so that way, hopefully I have more people reading my blog posts and I can get out there a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, all right, Leslie. Well, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with me today. And I hope to bink down to Tampa to come see you shortly at some point in time. Tell our audience how they can reach out to you if they want to follow up on anything you had to say today, or check in with a estate planning attorney in Tampa.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Neil, for having me. If they want to reach me, they can send me an email. My email is les@longalaw.com. Longa is my maiden name, L-O-N-G-A. My website is longalaw.com. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you really soon here in Tampa.
Yeah, that's the best way. Okay. Well, we hope the hurricanes stay away from you, too. That's one other thing I wanted to mention. So you've had some weather.
So far, we've been lucky here.
So far on the West Coast there, you've been lucky. So let's hope that continues to be the case. Leslie, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with me today on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks, Neil. I appreciate it.
Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists, Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program, and our newest sponsor, lawcoaching.com. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year, but we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So I'd love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur, and if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.